You are listening to a podcast of the Geek.io Media Network. For all of our shows and more, visit geek-io.net. And to help support the network, head over to patreon.com/geek.io.
Gamer Geeks, where we take a look at the latest events in video, card, and tabletop games.
That is not the intro that I wanted to play. But that's good enough!
That's Beyond! Wait, wrong show.
Hello and welcome to Gamer Geeks, being recorded, March 5th, 2017. I'm your host, CJ Boat, and joining me as always are Raul and Delbert, and joining us since the original Nintendo Switch press conference is Miguel LaRosa.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Oh, man.
I'm doing my best not to talk about Zelda.
Zelda.
So how many of us are playing Zelda? Three of us, right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Well,
yes.
Delbert is playing a Zelda-like game, which with her.
Oh, Delbert is playing. Delbert is playing post-apocalyptic Zelda, where Zelda dyed her hair red and took over as Link.
Basically,
he's playing the actual Legend of Zelda.
Horizon Zero Zelda?
Yes. Wait, what?
What? Or as someone else put it, I am playing another huge open world adventure with lush visuals, rideable animals, and a long main haired character with a bow. So.
Don't worry, we're not going to spoil anything. Zelda's storyline. However, if you don't know Zelda's storylines by now, so far, minus like what happens in the world, it is the same thing. Hyrule's in trouble.
Link dies.
He has to save it.
Link dies. Duh.
Yeah, you're not wrong.
Theories. No.
Well, I mean, he does in fact die a lot, especially when they don't prepare you for, like, oh, go take a picture of this weird red-maned lion thing. Cool, no problem. Oh, God, this guy hits like a Mack truck.
Oh,
God, yes. He's eating my face.
Enemies will take you out. But
I have 10 extra stars. I have 10 extra hearts. No problem. Yeah, boom, all of them are gone in one hit. Shit.
Oh, there's a group of guys coming after me? Let me drop a bomb and run. Oh, crap, he kicked the bomb right into the back of my head. I'm dead.
Yeah, right. I threw a bomb into like one of their hidey holes, and like I'm watching them play kickball with my bomb, and I'm like, boom.
All right, CJ. Before this goes way off the rails with Zelda, just a Zelda cast. Let's break into the news.
Well, first of all, let me go ahead and a special little treat for those in the live stream right now. And by the way, live Sundays, usually 9 p.m., 10 p.m. this week because reasons. Twitch.tv/geekioshow. Before we do that, I have some Marvel Heroes codes to give away. And I'm going to go ahead and give the very first, newest hero of Marvel Heroes. Anybody following the chat? It's the first person that simply types the word Inhuman in the chat gets Black Bolt, the leader of the Inhumans. Just type the word Inhuman in Twitch chat.
I pantomimed it, but I'm not going to win.
You don't count.
Plus, it's...
EIO are not included in this.
It's kind of cheating because they have to wait like 40 seconds for the... For the delay, and I get it instantly.
Wait a second.
The Rash Sario, which I'm guessing is not Thresh Sario, but I like saying the Rash Sario.
The Rash? Sorry.
I
love you. Don't hate me.
Congratulations. Obviously, you are not in the following for the next one. But... then let's go ahead and let's go do the thing that everybody's actually here for, the news.
On to the news!
All All right. And we're going to do some. We're going to do a commercial-free broadcast this time around because there's a lot of stuff to talk about. So the news. Oh, man. Phil Spencer from Xbox. He got to talking and made a lot of promises that maybe shouldn't have been made. Because he's not real great on usually making promises that he likes to keep. Xbox Live is getting a Netflix-like subscription program called Xbox Game Pass.
One more, or also known as one more nail in the coffin for GameStop.
Yeah, basically, yes. It's $10 a month pricing. Spencer said that he thinks this is fair for that price. And you get to access a catalog of 100 games of confirmed titles for this so far. So games can drop in and out of the library at any given moment, akin to Netflix or PS Now. Basically, this is absolutely a PS Now competitor because we have Fable 3, Gears of War Ultimate Edition, Lego Batman, Mad Max, Mega Man Legacy Collection, NBA 2K16, Payday 2, Saints Row 4 Reelected, because that's relevant, and Tekken Tag Tournament 2 are the confirmed games that we have so far for Xbox Game Pass.
And reading through this, they're going to be downloads, not streaming like PlayStation Now is.
It just seems still kind of like, I don't know if it's better or worse that that's that way.
Better.
And I believe you get like a 10% discount if you want to buy it.
Yeah, it's very much so akin to like Gamefly's digital distribution thing.
Yeah, but I don't know. Do you need Xbox?
That they do
gold to pay for this.
Everything needs Xbox Gold. Netflix needs Xbox Gold.
Really?
So yes, you need Xbox Gold.
Ugh. I'll keep my PC.
Right? But yeah, he just kind of got on a rant about that and a few other things. He went on kind of a tirade on the Major Nielsen podcast about E3 and they're going to have one of their biggest events ever and blah, 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 blah.
Are we getting Battletoads remastered?
I hope so. That'd be great.
I mean, I can almost guarantee they're going to say something big about Scorpio. So I would imagine it would be a big conference.
Considering they are moving away from and he did confirm that they are moving from Monday morning to Sunday afternoon. So when you're moving away from the other E3 conferences, something that you want to lay down and just be like, all right, drop the mic and think about it.
So alternatively, they might just be trying to tap into Bethesda's magic by stealing Sunday night.
That's entirely true.
Yeah, it's like none of the major conferences are during E3. E3 they use to talk with their developers, talk with marketing and all that, the press.
But this time, going on that, I think they are just really confident about what's coming out. They talked about last E3. And I don't know, I'm excited. I'm going to E3. So I'm going to try all this stuff out. So hopefully Scorpio's there. Otherwise, why would you go first?
Right. Yeah. They have to have something up their sleeve or else the change of the day would not be a thing, especially not when you go into a major gaming podcast like Major Nielsen's podcast and talk about it.
Well, he made some rounds this week. He was also on IGN's podcast for Xbox and Microsoft things.
Phil Spencer, I'm calling you out.
Join us next week.
Yeah, we need a few more thousand.
Well, I don't know. The thing is, like, Major Nelson, like, that's their community manager, so you're going to get softball questions. And IGN kind of pushed it a little bit, and it seemed like he was he was still really confident about those answers he was giving. So I'm going to kind of buy into this for now. Considering anyone who's already into an Xbox ecosystem already has gold, you may be even doing family sharing with a family member, so you don't have to think about it as $10 a month. Maybe it's $5 a month, and now you're sharing with your family member as well. So maybe as long as they keep a good stream of games coming in and start having those Netflix style exclusives, this might be a program worth having.
On the flip side, though, Phil Spencer is always like super overconfident about everything.
This is true.
So just because IGN was, you know, tossing him a hard question, he was super confident, doesn't mean anything.
Yeah, exactly. All right, so guess what happened this week?
What happened this week?
What happened?
And Amazon borked it.
How did they bork this?
A couple times, actually.
Yeah, they borked their borking. Like, they up to the point that I know somebody who ordered got a pre-order on Amazon that still doesn't have their Switch.
Huh.
Some people still have it as preparing for shipment at all from Amazon, stating that, hey, you're not getting your Switch on time. Yeah. And then they also sold more for Prime members instead of shipping out the ones that were supposed to be sent out to the customers.
And they were offering additional quantities the next day for same day delivery. Wow.
Yeah, Amazon dropped the ball big time on this one. It's kind of unusual for Amazon. Like, they don't normally do that.
Well, it's kind of been a weird week for Amazon, though, considering one of their engineers took down half the internet this week.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So, it's kind of a weird week for Amazon.
A surge breaker that held up a third of the internet. And
So, yeah.
Spilled his coffee on the KVM switch, shorting out every single one of them.
Wait, it was supposed to be 10 and not 1,000? Balls.
So yeah, good job Amazon on borking it. Nintendo did a pretty good job at getting out at least an amount of stuff, and unlike the NES Classic Edition, had a ton. Some stores didn't have many, but I mean, if you were willing to get in line or get the pre-order, you got your system at least. Except if you ordered through Amazon, good job Amazon.
Yeah, the Walmart I went to, taking into account I live in the middle of nowhere, they got like 24 Switches. And that's between the neon color, the gray one, and the Skylander pack.
Yeah, we got 6 extra at the GameStop that I was at. Hours, by the way. I did 13 hours in front of a GameStop.
Yeah. I could have shown up at like 11:30 and still got an A Switch. Wouldn't have been able to get the Legend of Zelda Collector's Edition, but.
All right. So what else do we got on the news here?
We have cheating is very bad, guys. Very bad.
Yeah. Don't cheat.
Yeah. Don't cheat. Cheating service loses a lawsuit from League of Legends for some little pocket change, about $10 million.
Yeah, just a little bit.
Yeah.
It
was a script writing website that I believe that they were actually like charging $50 a month for the service. So yeah,
nice.
The Riot's not going to look too good onto that. In other news as well, Ubisoft is come under fire from the Bolivian government for their open world Ghost Recon Wirelands, because it shows how the government just pretty much just gave up an entire country to a cartel.
hey, countries of the world, don't do weird crap like that and you won't have video games made about it. You'll hear Germany complaining about every single World War II game they made.
I mean, they probably have a word for that.
Well, no, I mean, that's history. Yeah.
So is that. I mean, just not as well known because not millions of people died, but that's beside the point.
Yeah. But, yeah, I did like the route that they took with Wirelands, where it's not super future soldier. It's more a little bit like maybe close to present day kind of tech. It's not like what Call of Duty did and went like Halo 0.5.
Spaceships!
I mean, guys, no offense to Bolivia, but you're Bolivia.
Yeah, right.
Any advertisement's good advertisement.
Yeah, exactly.
They've actually made a formal complaint to the French embassy because Ubisoft is a French-based developer.
Jeez, come on.
I did read that, though, that Ubisoft defended themselves by saying that it is a fictional story, but we're hoping that the landscape lives up to your beauty.
Oh. Also, hashtag lols, don't do stupid crap.
Yeah. If you haven't noticed yet, we're going to talk a lot about the Switch in this episode. So apparently the Switch games taste really bad.
They don't taste good, that's for certain.
Yeah, I was streaming when I was setting it up, unboxing it, and I licked it, and like I licked it a second time to like. Not
I don't
that
think
bad.
You licked it. Good. I don't. I seriously don't think you licked it good enough. You need to lick it harder.
Well, I licked the label. Should I lick the contacts and all that?
No. Lick outside of the label, because if you look on the YouTube.com/GeekIOShow stream a little bit of the channel. I take like off of the label and just take a good like solid lick on it, and it tastes really bad.
Oh, okay. All right.
He licked it, so it's his.
Apparently,
I licked Zelda. And now it's mine.
This whole licking the cartridge started over at Giant Bomb with Jeff Gunspin started, and then just like
yeah, I still. Yeah, do not eat your Switch games.
Yes, don't eat those. Spend it on a good steak at a good restaurant.
Not eat Switch games.
Yeah. And that's it for my part. Dell, you got anything?
Got a couple things. So how do you guys feel about buying trophies or achievements with in-game
nope.
currency?
Blasphemy?
Nope.
No.
Ouch.
Yeah, it's kind of a annoying thing. So apparently Nier Automata, I think that's how it's pronounced. I'm not really sure. Oh. I haven't heard it. Yeah. So it's I believe it's PlayStation only. Apparently you're able to buy trophies.
It's a time release. It's timed exclusive for
Okay. So I'm sure unless they change it then in the future, you'll be able to buy the achievements and everything through it. But yeah, so you can use the in-game money you collect that you would use for potions or any type of weapon to unlock trophies after the third playthrough if they locate a secret shop.
Okay. That I don't care about. Like, the way, and admittedly, I'm going to just admit here that I just clicked on the link and looked at it. Yeah, I originally thought, like, you could spend, because, like, certain games you can go on and buy, don't do it, but like Tales of Berseria, you can buy 100,000 gold from the PlayStation store. I thought you meant something like that. No, this is fine. Yeah. This is fine. There's no problem.
This is gold. This is money you're getting while playing the game.
Yeah, this is not you buying. This is not real money.
Yeah, no.
This is your third playthrough. You probably have enough money at that point. I don't know the game, obviously. But you probably have enough money at that point to not care that you're buying trophies.
But yeah, it's still kind of a weird line to be touching on. Because it's only a step away from microtransactions. Buy all the money!
Yeah, and that's what
your trophy in 30 seconds.
This is fine. And if you can buy in-game money through the I mean, there will be people that do that. More power to them. Don't do that. That's dumb.
I can honestly say I'm not against the idea of buying it with in-game money, considering I am still one friggin' trophy away from platinum in Persona 4 Golden. Stupid lines trophy.
Nier Automata on PC on March 17th.
Okay.
Wow, that's a very short timed release then. Because I remember Tomb Raider had, what, a year?
But Tomb Raider was also paid to be out for a year.
Yeah, this Square, I think they might have gotten kind of bit with the Tomb Raider thing.
Yeah, but, so they're not going to hold off too long.
Yeah. And plus, Nier Automata is one of those games, like, it's hugely popular over in Japan. Like, this is one of the biggest games in Japan right now. So it's a big deal over here in the States. There are a lot of people that are looking forward to it, myself included. Like, I keep watching gameplay footage of this, and it's so good.
Yeah, considering the original game was very small comparatively to everything else at the time.
Yeah, I'm going to put a link into the Twitch chat for the for some gameplay footage of it.
Yeah, that
enjoy. Game, it's fair.
That game's like the evolution of Mega Man, or what Mega Man should have evolved into.
Absolutely.
So hopefully it plays that way. As far as like the demo was excellent. If you played the demo, and the demo's still there, just go try it.
All right. Well, I'll download it and probably stream it tomorrow because it's I'm stoked.
So, but yeah, so moving on from that weird subject, on Wednesday, the Game Developers Choice Awards occurred, and I'm sure all of you will be very shocked to hear that Overwatch won Game of the Year.
Yes!
Oh, wow, yeah. Yeah, no shock there.
Sweep.
Well, no, it's a game that's coming up on its 1 year, and it's still relevant. It's got, what is it, like 20,000 players? 20 million?
Yeah, it's
easily.
It is Blizzard's number one game right now. It has no, like, looking like it's going to slow down.
But yeah. But yeah, aside from Gamer Year being won by Overwatch, it looks like Inside by Playdead was the other major winner. They took home best audio and best visual art, which, by the way, if you haven't played Inside, it's fantastic.
I have not.
It's what's the one that made Limbo?
Yeah,
Varesh, sorry, I'm mispronouncing your name on purpose. He's claiming that Overwatch is the best game ever.
Yeah,
he might be right.
If you enjoyed Limbo, you will love Inside.
The best games that I've ever played. Like I hate first person shooters. Hate first person shooters. And like Overwatch, I play a lot during the week. Also, yes, D.Va is the best.
But she has a bug with her right now. But we'll talk about that.
Yeah.
But yeah, so Uncharted 4 won Best Tech, which is not surprising considering Naughty Dog is always very good.
I am surprised.
How could you? The big surprise is the Innovation Award went to No Man's Sky.
That should have been the most. No. Look. The most ambitious. That should have been it.
That I would have given you. Yeah, most ambitious, yes. But I could. Games that are more innovative than that.
But you know,
I mean,
they open the door.
Going on Marvel Heroes does, you know, procedurally designed like full ecosystems. So it's not just the same thing. Admittedly, you don't have Melanosaurus Rex in Marvel Heroes, but you know,
giggity. But yeah, apparently the developers of No Man's Sky were kind of surprised. Considering
what do you mean we want video game Razzie?
I don't buy that though, much. Because part of the things I was doing last week before GDC was looking at speakers, and Murray was one of the speakers for every single day of that event. So I'm starting to feel like maybe this is a little bit of a, you know, I scratch your back, you scratch mine, give us a little bit of credit. We kind of made this genre type of thing. They did put the genre on the map of this whole, you know, infinite exploration thing. Because Elite Dangerous was there, and some other games were like that, but that was the first game that actually, like, everyone knows about the game.
Yeah, and then Elite Dangerous is like, hey, you guys hate No Man's Sky, right? We've been here for a while now. Love us. We're great.
And we have as much stuff, and it's actually populated with cool things.
And we have VR capabilities.
But not no Source Rex. It says hurry.
Basically. And then, but yeah, after, the only other thing I have is not exactly gaming related, but it's interesting for the whole PC aspect of everything. AMD finally launched their new Ryzen processor, a trio of 8-core processors that are supposed to rival Intel's finest, but being cheaper.
You could say AMD is Ryzen to the occasion.
Indeed, they're trying.
Yes, they at that price trying. Point, their highest end is $500.
Yeah, it's such a good price.
And that's their top-of-the-line 7 series, right?
Yes.
Yeah, and it sounds a little low on the processor. It's the 7 series 1800X runs at 3.6 gigahertz or up to 4.0 gigahertz for 500, but at the same time, you have to realize it's 8 cores and 16 threads.
Yeah,
it's... So that's double what Intel is even putting on the table right now.
I just think it's good that we have competition in that business, because forever it's just felt like it's Intel's business, and that's about it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So this will bring prices down, hopefully.
So
yeah, definitely.
Go ahead.
No, I was just agreeing. Definitely.
Oh, okay.
What's up?
And they still have their consumer, their 3 and 5 series that they're going to release soon,
mm-hmm.
which those have to be marketed at like sub $100, sub $200.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
That would not surprise me. I'm going to. My goal is by my birthday to build a machine using the Ryzen chip. So I will, over the course of Gamer Geeks, I will let you guys know how that goes.
Yeah,
my birthday August. So the goal is by
my. Let me know.
Yeah, so that is the goal, and we'll keep it. I'll keep everybody updated here and on the Geek.io show Thursdays at 10 p.m. Eastern.
But yeah, so currently, like, the early benchmarks are saying that Intel's still on top, but the fact that you have to benchmark to find out exactly if they're still on top says a lot.
Exactly. Yeah, and it's not a marked difference. Like, they're
it's also their first release.
Yeah, exactly.
So
that'll probably be the last thing that I buy of the new system that I'm going to be building. So maybe there'll be a redo of it.
Maybe there'll be a 1900 by then.
Boom.
But yeah,
speaking of 1900, let's go ahead and move on into the Blizzard news. And I'm just going to say this: first person to say 1900 in chat gets a Black Bolt for Marvel Heroes. Just give me 1900. Thank you, Delbert, for getting
1900. You're welcome.
I exist to serve.
Yes. this is the fun part of doing live stuff. There we go. Unmakeality gets a Black Bolt.
Congratulations. What I wonder is how long it'll take for AMD to put out an 16 core.
Yes, exactly. We do have I have a beast coming up later in the show, and for that as well, I turn it off of followers only. And do a thing there. People can talk if they don't follow the Twitch channel, twitch.tv/geekioshow. As a Black Bolt, yes, you have to say it loud because Black Bolt.
All right,
so. Blizzard Corner! We have... for games. I want to go real quick because the other one's probably going to take some talking. Heroes of the Storm, the Protoss probe, he builds pylons. He looks amazing.
He literally must construct additional pylons.
Yes, and he does. He's a support character. I have not played him because I don't play Heroes of the Storm, but I'm guessing each of those pylons gives like a boost or something like that.
Probably. Like a healing boost or something.
Yeah. Build more pylons.
Yay.
So.
Yeah, it seems like it's going to be like a more high-tech Gazlo.
Probably. I'm going to pretend I know what that means.
Gazlo's a turret builder.
Oh.
Specialist.
Turbulent? That's weird. All right.
And we also have news on the game of the year, Overwatch. They're They're not adding Doomfist yet.
No, Jerry Crews is still unemployed.
Until they release the next Expendables movie.
Or Old Spice commercial.
Yeah. He gets a few million for that at least.
Oh, you know, yeah.
He's on the show called Ultimate Beastmaster on Netflix, which is like a Ninja Warrior clone.
Wait, isn't he also on...
God, I didn't know that was a thing.
He's on Brooklyn...
Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Yeah, Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
No, it was just me being facetious, you guys. Terry Crews works. I know that.
He works everywhere.
I didn't know he was an Ultimate Beastmaster, though.
So we have a new, I guess, Omnic tank, Orisa. And she is a beast right now on the PTR.
She's a little girl.
Yes, created by a little girl.
She's not a beast. Don't be rude.
I mean, if she...
She's right a now, little baby.
Yes, right now she is unkillable on the PTR because of her fortify ability, which she takes reduced damage and is immune to all CC.
That's because she's 11. Don't put the 11-year-old... Don't roofie dart the 11-year-old.
No. It's
bad,
not,
Anna.
It's, bad. No. It's not her. It's an autonomous... Omnic.
It's a robot.
Yeah, it's a robot. Robot. It's not a mech.
The Rash Sario said, I have 3,700 points to buy a gold weapon. I want a Doomfist.
But yeah.
Nobody resist Junkrat.
So yeah. I had it up here a second ago. Okay, so she has Fortify. What's the other one? She has a deployable shield that looks like... It looks like Reinhardt's shield. What's that?
I have a deployable shield, too, if you know what I mean. That's for a different show.
Hey!
I don't know what show that is.
The one that I let myself do politics.
Ah.
Which is when I appear on Generic Live Show.
So, yeah. She has a 200-round machine gun.
Yeah, that machine gun is insane.
Halt, which is... it's pretty much a downgraded version of Zarya's ult. You shoot it, and then it will draw enemies towards it. Protective Barrier, it's pretty much a mix of Reinhardt's shield and Winston's bubble.
Monkey.
Yeah. And her ult is Supercharge, which she deploys a it's just a device and it's line of sight, and I think it's as much as Mercy's damage boost.
Yeah, there's YouTube videos of her in action. I will pull one up here in just a moment here and put it in the Twitch chat. She's only available on the PTR right now. Oh.
But I was surprised that it's like, and she's playable right now on the PTR. Usually they announce, give us a week, and then they release on the PTR, and then they give us like 2-3 weeks before they put her off on the live.
They didn't, and I can guarantee the crap from
Sombra
burned them. It obviously didn't affect the game too much, but I can guarantee that pissed a bunch of developers off, a bunch of the team off. So just like, we're going to do a Hearthstone thing on this one.
Just announce and release.
Yeah, just announce and release and test her on the PTR, because that's where, you know, you do testing. So instead of doing a lot of internal testing, just put her on the PTR for 2 or 3 weeks, work out the bugs there, then get her live. That way we're not waiting 6 months playing a stupid freaking...
But yeah, they just had terrible timing for Sombra. They just needed to expedite their... what sort of like, for like their teasers a little bit more.
Yeah, exactly.
Because like they had stuff in.
Good job on. By the way, bravo to Blizzard to trolling all of the data miners into really thinking that Doomfist is the next hero.
Well, they did work him into the story, but still, I mean, Doomfist is a villain.
They've
cemented that part. They've confirmed that part.
Yeah, he did indeed knock a security droid through a wall in well, not he. They certainly knocked a security droid through a wall in
Nubani at the airport.
Yeah.
And they also updated the airport to reflect this.
Yeah. I still want a Doomfist PvE. Let's do that.
Oh, I just want a PvE mode.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, bring back. If you're willing to do a full-time Capture the Flag, give me a full-time Junkenstein's Revenge.
Oh. Or, I mean, just not Junkenstein. It can just be like a generic...
I'm just saying that, I mean, it's not Capture the Rooster either. It's just Capture the Flag.
Yeah.
But give me that.
Speaking of Hearthstone, they announced Journey to Ungaro.
Ungaro. Come on, you're a WoW player.
Ungaro. Yeah.
You get
Didn't spend much time in there.
You get dinosaurs and Ben Brode rapped about it on Reddit.
And you got Elemental.
Ungaro was the best zone.
It was a beautiful zone, yes.
With dinosaurs.
Yeah. Which dinosaurs that would eat you alive.
Yeah, man.
As dinosaurs are wont to do.
It's going to be a full expansion. It's going to have a quest mode involved with it, though. So there's that to replace the adventure. Because they stated that they're getting rid of the adventures, as discussed last week on this very show.
One of the new cards, Volcano. Deal 15 damage randomly split among all minions. Overload 2.
Boom! Shaman OP!
Oh, no. Here's another Shaman card. Pyros. Death Rattle, return this to your hand as a 6/6 that costs 6. And then.
And another card for Shaman, win the game.
No.
That's all.
And then.
Hero cost, win the game.
And then when it's a 6/6, it's got Death Rattle, return it as your hand as a 10/10 for 10.
Yeah, seriously. Shaman is ridiculous in this coming up expansion already.
Yeah, like, they're going to add elementals to minion types. Let's see, Adapt, which it's like it gets another ability like Death Rattle summon a 2/1/1 plants plus 3 attack, can't be targeted by spells or abilities, Divine Shield, Wind Fury, and Taunt.
It they're doing a lot with this expansion. It's coming out in April, so don't have much time to wait, and I have Legend of Zelda to occupy me for a month until that comes up.
And one of the quest cards is summon 7 Death Rattle minions, reward Amara, Warden of Hope, which is a taunt.
Yeah.
8/8, set your hero's health to 40. Battle cry. It's insane that Awaken the Makers is a spell for one. It's a legendary spell for one. So to start the quest, but you have to pop down all the your Death Rattle, so that's going to be insane.
Yeah, they haven't done a lot of a full like mark out what the quest feature is going to be with this. How they do that, though, I'm gonna think that they're taking a book out of Elder Scrolls Legends. By the way, if you don't play Elder Scrolls Legends, it's still, you can just get it still through the Elder Scrolls launcher. It is ridiculously good for a Hearthstone clone. Like, of all the Blizzard clones that are out there, and there are a lot of Blizzard game clones, that is definitely the best. And yes, I've played Gwent. Gwent is good. Elder Scrolls Legends is so good. But the way they do that is kind of like occasionally you'll just kind of get a card that starts a quest and you just have to do those things in battles.
Nice. Do we want to get to the main meat of this show?
Yep, let's go ahead. Next hour? Right, all right, I'm going to hit this button right here. This is the temporary bumper for our review.
For science!
Wow, that was loud.
Sounded like Cicero.
I don't have a bumper for that, but that one works for right now. So, yeah, all right.
So we all just going to talk about Zelda, or let's go through the non-Zelda stuff first, and then we'll...
Let's do the one non-Switch review that we have so far in this episode. Delbert, what do you review in this one?
Ocarina of Zero Dawn.
Legend of Zelda, red-haired woman.
Horizon Zero Breath of the Wild.
Yeah, so I didn't have the money to buy a Switch, so I had to settle with Horizon Zero Dawn.
I like how it's settled.
No, it's fantastic. When I heard about it the first time, I'm like, you guys are known for first-person shooters. I don't know if you can pull off a third-person stealth bow and arrow hunting game. Oh my god. They pulled off a third-person bow and arrow stealth hunting game.
It's basically, for those who don't know, it is singularity happened, and now there are robot dinosaurs, and there are a few humans, one of which is an extremely attractive redheaded girl, and that is your protagonist.
Yeah, and you play her through her entire life, apparently.
Huh.
The game starts out as when she's like a 6 or 7 year old kid, which is kind of cool.
You play baby Ginger? That's fun.
Yeah, you play baby Ginger, and then there's an epic training montage. And
I don't remember her name.
Aloy.
There we go. Aloy. Got it. The only thing I've watched a bunch of videos for this. So many videos for this. My favorite one was a montage of fighting the epic class 5 monsters and all of them just knocking Aloy into the air like Skyrim giant style. There's a 5 minute video of that somewhere on the internet, just of her just getting knocked into the air Skyrim style for 5 minutes.
That's amazing. I'll have to look into that. I haven't seen any of those beasts yet, but if the last boss that I fought was any indication, I'm going to have a fun time with him. But yeah, so obviously you're hunting mecha dinosaurs. The way you approach them are super crazy. You could either go in super stealth and take them out quietly, or you could go in bows twanging and, you know, traps flying everywhere and blow them all to hell. It's a lot of fun.
When I first saw this, I was thinking, it's Tomb Raider cross Monster Hunter.
Yeah. It's very Far Cry-esque. Oh, it has that same feel.
Yeah.
Very Far Cry-esque. With a bit of Assassin's Creed hiding in there.
I did watch somebody set up a Rube Goldberg design kind of thing to annihilate like a bunch of dinosaurs just kind of chilling down there. Like he created a stampede and then shot an arrow up into the air, and all of a sudden like 6 or 8 boulders just come streaming down the in front of the stampede. And then he went through and explained how it happened. I'm like, oh my god, the fact that you can do that in this game is so freaking cool.
Nice. I haven't seen that one either. I've also been trying to avoid everything about it because I actually want to play it straight through.
I hear the story is very good.
Given how I don't own it yet, I've just been like, all right, I'm going to watch all of the things.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I own it, and I'm like, I am not going to spoil myself. I'm recording it for my channel, so I want it to be as straight. Yeah, I want it to be as straight and legit as I possibly can get it without like, oh, I've already seen this plot point. Oh, no. Type thing. I want it to be like, oh my god, that was epic. There's
kind of like the reason why I haven't looked up anything for Breath of the Wild, even though I own the strategy guide for it. Just kind of, I need to look at these and go, oh my god, there's a red thing attacking me.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm not going to go into any of the story spoilers because there's a lot that I haven't got to, and I got covered a lot already. There are these things in the game called cauldrons. basically, it's like a self-contained dungeon. Platforming, yeah. Stealth, killing stuff. And it culminates in this boss fight. They don't call it a boss fight. It's just a monster you can, you know, a dinosaur you can find out in the wild somewhere. But I ended up going up against this thing called a fire bellowback. I haven't even encountered regular bellowbacks yet, so I have no idea what this thing was.
You get that from eating too much Taco Bell.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, he was shooting fire out of his throat, so I would assume Taco Bell gone wrong.
I mean, that would just be like super hot Mexican food at that point. But you said bellowback, so, you know.
Yeah, well, apparently the way it looks
is... You're ruining my joke.
Shut up, CJ. God. Yeah, it's like a quadrupedal dinosaur that has a giant tank of, you know, explosive stuff on its back, as well as like a... It's like a fire-breathing dragon type thing, basically.
Yep.
And you're in a room with zero cover. There's got like six other enemies running around. First time I went in there, I did a really good job, but I didn't do a lick of damage to the boss. Like, I took out the other guys, and, like, I was pumping arrow after arrow into this son of a bitch, and I swear, like, his health bar didn't even drop a quarter of an inch. Like, it didn't even move from full. So I died. I went back in there. I ended up, there's a feature called an override, so you basically can take control of some of the dinosaurs. So they can kind of fight on your side, which is kind of cool.
Pokemon!
Yeah, basically.
Robot dinosaur Pokemon! Which I just made my favorite game. Saying that out loud just now.
Wait. So basically Digimon.
I mean, yeah, you're not fully wrong on that one. You have limited arrows?
Yeah, but you can craft on the fly.
Okay. Yeah, it was...
Chat. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I had farmed her a little bit, so I had plenty of stuff. So I went in there with one of the weapons that I picked up. And for the record, it's not really a spoiler, but tear blast arrows are amazing. So tear is like a thing. So all the monsters have a lot of armor, obviously, because they're robots. And every weapon has a set of attributes, and the amount of tear is about how much damage you do to the armor itself. So at a high enough tear point, you're breaking pieces of armor off the robot. Okay. And tear blast arrows, they are arrows that do zero damage, but they do like 60% tear to everything that it hits. So it's like a concussive arrow.
Huh.
I pumped 15 of these things in that guy. He had zero armor left, and I just... What was it? Like 60 or 70 arrows later, he was dead.
Wow.
So, and that's using my it's a sharp shot bow, so it's like a sniper bow. So I was doing like 100, 200 damage, 100, 110 damage a shot.
Hmm. Nice. And like as you're breaking the armor off, can you go pick it up and like make an arrow with it?
The armor, some pieces are used. There's also like canisters of resources that are on the side. Like early on, they introduce you to something called blaze. It's what you use to make fire arrows, and you can, if you blow that off, you can pick it up off the ground and use it to craft your fire arrows. So everything has a bit of a use, which is cool, but they don't tell you very well on how to get some of the stuff, so it's kind of annoying.
All right, so given this,
I'm gonna give it a 4.5 out of 5. It's damn near perfect. My only gripe is the amount of farming you have to do. At least early game. I'm not at a point where I can say I can just do the main story and never have to worry about anything ever again. I've had at least 2 hours of farming off camera to try and gather what I need to keep moving forward. So,
yeah.
It's still fun to farm, but, you know, it's farming. It gets kind of boring after a while.
Don't tell that to people who play Stardew Valley.
Stardew Valley sucks. I mean...
Oh, sorry, Delbert, you're breaking up. But,
Oh, Delbert!
Yeah, sorry,
podcast. Oh, no.
Oh, no. Sorry, guys.
I'm buying it for the Switch now just to spite you.
Is it on the Switch right now?
No, but it was in the Indie Showcase.
Ah.
It's gonna be. I think it's one of those ones in like Wave 2 Switch releases.
No, yeah. I actually, we missed the story, I guess, but they had an Indie Showcase that was like about 19 minutes long, and Stardew Valley was in there, amongst other things.
Shovel Knight and Spectre Knight is on the store right now.
Yeah, I bought it.
How do you like it?
One of us is going to be talking about that here shortly. really quick, before Delbert zones out, I want to drag him into the worst review of the Switch that we're going to have. He played it with me for a while. Super Bomberman R.
Nintendo. Is disappointing. No.
You're not the one who's used to say this was disappointing. All right, so I put this in, and this was actually because I didn't want to start playing Breath of the Wild before I was fully awake and able to really fully embrace Breath of the Wild. Bomberman, I just popped in because I'm like, certainly I can just pop this in and play for it a little bit. Story mode is mostly adequate. Right, Delbert, would you put story mode as mostly adequate?
Yeah, it doesn't really cover a lot. I mean, it's obviously not intended to be a really deep story, but
quote unquote story mode, by the way, for anybody who's wondering, yeah, just assume I'm meaning quote unquote story mode.
Agreed.
And then I'm like, hey, we have three people on the streaming couch. Let's go into multiplayer. Certainly, this will be a ruckus, really great time. No. It's not.
First of all, how did that look playing with multiple players on the same console? Was that like two sets of Joy-Cons or three sets of Joy-Cons or somebody had a pro controller?
I only have the two Joy-Cons. So it was three of us, and we kind of just swapped off whenever one of us got tired of playing. So it was one of us on one Joy-Con, one of us on the other Joy-Con. And, I mean, it's fine. You can't really – I mean, you can screen watch your opponent if that's something you're going to do, you cheating bastard. But you then end up getting crapped on by the AI because you have two choices, 4 and 8 players. Those non-player spots have to be filled. There's no like one-on-one in this. There's always going to be AI if you don't have 4 people playing.
And the AI is a cheating psychopath.
The AI is such a cheating psychopath. The AI is so much hacks. It is ridiculous. It is so stupid. How bad how good. They literally stand half a pixel outside the fire because that's where they know they can stand. And there's no like difficulty adjuster. So when the players die, it's the AI being AI against AI. So they're like, oh, I'm going to put a bomb here, and then I'm going to move a quarter of a pixel this way. Ha ha, your fire. But then I go in there just as the hit bracket for the fire goes away, so I'm somehow still in the fire, but I'm avoiding it and then going after you.
Wow.
It's ridiculous. Like, the only way that Delbert or I won, and Rachel eventually just like, yeah, I'm not enjoying this at all, and just gave the controller to Delbert. And now she's giggling, making things go boom, apparently. I think she's learning how to
do.
She's learning how to combat in Legend of Zelda, but through bombs, apparently.
Bombat.
it's ridiculous, and it's kind of not fun, especially in multiplayer mode. Like, I can imagine if you had 4 people in there playing, fun. But if there's a single AI, like, the only way we won was through attrition. Like, making it so they couldn't get to the middle and wearing out the time.
So there's a map where if you bomb certain blocks, they start to fall. It's literally called Pitfall. But so basically, like, after a while, in the last minute, that was set up so like blocks would go around the outside of the map and eventually fill it all in, so you couldn't just sit there and run out the time. Me and CJ both used it to a different extent, so we're just having fun doing it. We just blew up out the middle, so like one of us just hung out in the middle and just waited.
Yeah,
it's the only time
way we could win because of no stupid freaking hacking going on by the freaking computer.
What the fuck is what? That's a tree. Giant snake thingy.
It's a giant snake tree.
What the hell is that?
Lock.
Hey,
shoot it.
Hey,
snake.
Back here.
CJ, focus. Focus.
Safe. Shoot it with an arrow. And see what happens.
Kill it with fire.
I think Rachel's about to get the crap out of by a weird glowing snake thing.
Is that a euphemism for something?
Wow.
No, it's about to get real hentai up in Breath of the Wild.
After hours, Geek IO.
Oh, and you have the blood moon. Yay!
Oh no, the blood moon. Jesus Christ.
No hose.
Blood and moon in Legend of Zelda, by the way. Is basically like if you ever played like Dying Light, it's nighttime. Things just start coming out of the ground like really rapidly don't die.
Well, it's the respawn, right?
But they respawn ridiculously fast. Like if you're in a undead spawning area, they will just keep coming. But yeah, so I'm personally going to give Bomberman a 2 out of 5. It has a chance to be great, but you need people to play it. It is definitely your couch co-op game that you have currently. But considering we don't have 4 people playing, it's lackluster at best.
However, the story co-op actually was fun.
Yeah, story co-op I'd give maybe a 2.5 because, I mean, it's fine. It's fun. It fixes the issues that you have with single or with multiplayer, but it's still just
not by much.
Yeah, the music is so fun in this though. Like the music is ridiculously fun.
Yeah,
I can't wait to play. Probably for Dragon. I can't think of a reason why I would be playing 4-player co-op before like Dragon Con. If I do, then I would love to try Bomberman with 4 people.
Take this.
Yes, take this. Also, Black Bomberman is Naruto.
Yeah.
All right. So, Mig, you have the next non-Zelda review.
Well, I guess it's just a confirmation more so than a review, because if by now you haven't played Shovel Knight and you have a Switch, you should definitely get it. It's pretty much It's pretty much like their full edition. It has everything. It has all the downloadable characters and all the extra missions and stuff. And it's just a lot of fun. And it's really, it's still really pretty to look at on a tablet, like we will say about Zelda when we talk about it. But I'll just say straight up, it's a 4 out of 5, just because it is an aging game at this point, but you are getting the bonus value of paying $25 and getting everything associated with Shovel Knight.
How much is Shovel Knight on PC?
Give me a second.
That's a good question.
Give me a second. I'm looking it up right now.
But yeah,
Shovel.
It is also, for those who haven't played Shovel Knight,
it's $25 as well on Steam.
Yep.
Oh, there you go. So equal pricing is good. But it is an ultimately difficult game, so you have to be ready for Dark Souls-esque style difficulty. I would even say
Dark Souls.
I would even say this is more probably like Castlevania on steroids. Yeah, that's a good way of saying it.
Steroidvania.
Yes. But yeah, definitely it's probably one of the top 3 games to get right now on the Switch.
Yeah, Majorling, the price did go up because, well, new consoles. They're like, hey, we can get people to buy this for more money. The definitive edition, so it does kind of come with everything.
But yeah, to be fair, there's only 3 games on the Switch, so top 3.
There's more than that.
I did want to try Snipper Clips, but even if I had downloaded
I've heard
it,
a lot of great things about that. I've heard so many good things about Snipper Clips. It apparently is really, really good.
Yeah, that's probably like my one regret so far because of how outstanding Zelda is that I haven't touched it yet.
I'm eagerly waiting for Has Been Heroes. Like, I think that's going to be probably my next Switch game that I pick up because I want to. I mean, I can't lie. If money works out, I might buy Shovel Knight, but I really want to get Has Been Heroes when it comes out this month.
By the way, how depressing was that? Like, you're telling me you're waiting in line to get Has Been Heroes. I get the GameStop and I find out the damn thing was pushed back.
Yeah, I'm like, all right, cool. Day. I get there. I'm like, all right, I want the Switch and I want Bomberman and I want Has Been Heroes. And they're like, yeah, Has Been Heroes got pushed back. And I'm like, I'm sorry, what?
They like literally showed me the email on their tablet. Like they got the communication at like 5 p.m. the day of launch. How whack?
Yeah.
Crap.
But I mean, you know, there is also the Japanese store, and I will have to say. I may have gotten something else from the Japanese store through the account I made, but it's not taking any form of payment that I have. And it's kind of weird because I don't want to just splurge on a certain amount of yen when everything costs a weird amount of yen. It's like 6,902 yen for Dragon Quest 1 and 2. And you're like, wait, how do you acquire 6,902 yen? It's such a specific amount.
Japanese credit card.
Yeah, I guess that's the route you're going to have to take. But it's kind of disappointing.
Virtual console in the Japanese store?
Well, pretty much the same store that we have here, they have there, but they have Dragon Quest 1 and 2. They have Puyo Puyo Tetris already. And a couple of other things. Disgaea 5. All good games. And all games you could play in English. So not, you know, out of real possibility. That I'm pretty sure a lot of people have picked up those games.
How do you get access to... the Japanese
that might be something we need to discuss off. That doesn't, I mean, I'm sure Nintendo does not necessarily like region jumping.
No, they're region free. They've touted unlocked. It.
Yeah.
That's why it's so confusing about the payment thing.
Some kind of circumventing. I'm sure there's some kind of circumvention going on there, especially if you're buying it from a store. Most online companies do not like you doing that.
I don't know.
So for now, we will say you imported it directly from Japan.
but they said
they also said Has Been Heroes was coming out.
That is true.
Nintendo doesn't like parody.
Exactly. Together. Disgaea 5, yeah, there is Disgaea 4 was for the PS3, Disgaea 5 was for the PS4. I actually got my PS4 because at the time I was giving all of my PS4 review codes that I was being given to Delbert, and then I got the Disgaea 5 one. I'm like, I adamantly refuse to give my Disgaea 5 review code to Delbert. So that was what bought me the PlayStation 4. Because Rachel was like, no, we are not giving him this game. Also, Disgaea 4 is on the Vita, if you have a Vita or a PlayStation TV.
Oh, okay.
Can we do it now, CJ?
And if you have a PlayStation TV, you're a sad, strange little man.
I still want to stream my Vita games. Like, that's the only reason why I want a PlayStation TV, because I don't want to go through the crap of trying to get my Vita streaming. So, all right, guys. Tuck in.
See you next week.
Yeah, right? We're gone. Bye. All right. Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild. All three of us who have played it have played it strictly on Switch. So if it is different on Wii U, sorry. So we hate it. It's dumb. It's stupid. Moving on.
-6 out of 10.
Right? Okay. So first thing, I want to explain my first 5 minutes of playing this game. All right. Get through the opening cutscene. I'm streaming the entire thing. Get through the opening cutscene. I get out of the temple that you come into, because I'm not going to state what kind of a spoiler. I get out of there and I'm like, oh my God, it's so pretty. And I get real close to, I'm like, I try to get it like a nice epic view of the immediate area, and the Switch's controls are really touchy, you guys. So I end up flying off the cliff 2 minutes into playing the game.
Motion control!
No, I turned off the motion controls, except for the parts where you can't turn off the motion controls, because I got my bow, and I'm like, oh, cool! Wait, why is it going everywhere?
Yeah, that's like the first thing I did. I turned off motion controls, because there's certain parts where you need to use it.
Yeah. Those you can't turn off. Those I ended up kind of circumventing and cheating my way around, because I'm not... The motion controls are fine. They're kind of like... They're close, but it's just annoying to have to use them. So there's this temple where it's like, hey, you have to do this thing with motion controls. And I'm like, nope, I'm going to make it so there. I jump there and I use my thing and I just knock it into the thing. Cool. I'm dealing with this crap.
Yeah. It is such a pretty and amazing game. It's okay. I'm talking with some of my friends here. It's baby's first Dark Souls.
Yes. Yeah. There's no punches pulled at all with this game. Like,
at the very beginning, I'm climbing up a tree, and I think everyone I know has done this, where they like go too far off the cliff and they just die.
Well, that's exactly what I was just explaining. Was 2 minutes in, I'm like, oh, this is so pretty.
Yeah. Yeah, you're like, oh, wow, that is pretty. Oh, what's that? Boom.
Certainly, they won't let me just jump off the cliff 2 seconds into play. Nope.
Surely Nintendo wouldn't let us do this. We're not that smart.
Oh, yes, and they let you do everything. They pretty much let you.
Oh, yeah. Kill chickens. Frickin' chickens.
You know what's not forgiving? When you roll... When you get hit and you start rolling and you see your hearts start to dissipate, and then wait, I'm still losing hearts, but he's just rolling. And you're like, whoa, what's going on?
You get knocked out of it.
Yeah.
We're taking damage every time.
I will have to say, though, they depict Link right in the beginning of the game, and versus other games where, hey, I just woke up in this treehouse, and now let me go be another guy in this village until they tell me to go do something special. No, he's already somewhere special. It's pretty obvious from the outset that he's a badass. So I feel a little bit extra special using him.
Yeah, this is not Wind Waker kind of thing where you are literally delivering mail for the first 10 minutes of the game. Yeah, you are the hero of time right out the rip, and they don't try and pretend otherwise.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We're going to try and go spoiler-free with this as much as possible.
As much as possible, though, there might be minor spoilers, no plot points, but monster names and encounters and things like that. If you're not interested in hearing anything about it, let's just go ahead and, before we get into a discussion of it, let's just go ahead and go around the table with our actual point reviews. I'm going to state that this is my favorite game that I've played in a very long time. This is close to a perfect game as I can think of. I'm giving it a 5 out of 5. I'd give it more if I could.
I'm going to give it an also a 5 out of 5 because this game is just so beautiful, so amazing. Such an open world. Great.
You know what's so crazy is that I've forfeited the right to play all these great games that came out. Or even I tried to pick up a game like Neo and I was like, no, I'm going to return this right now. I'm going to wait for Zelda. This is the game of the year. It's already over. It's done.
Oh, yeah. No, there's no comparison.
It doesn't matter what Red Dead Redemption does or whatever the sequel is at the end of the year. This is over. It's over already. And all those other games, as great as they are and as strong as this year has started, like, they're all fighting for second place.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it is definitely. Yeah, it's race for second place at this point for game of the year because there's nothing beating Breath of the Wild.
I'm almost like shocked. Like, if this game had come out last year, would it have beaten Overwatch? It's
oh,
serious.
Yeah. No.
I'm just thinking for the reach that Overwatch has versus like your limited, you know, scope that you have with Nintendo games in general. Would that have still overpowered it? I think so.
Yeah.
But it's an interesting thing to think about.
All right. So, yeah, before we get in, another thing really quick to celebrate our last giveaway for in chat really quick before we get into a more of an in-depth thing in case one of them wants to leave and not get spoiled. The first person to type in chat gets Beast in Marvel Heroes. Do, 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 do.
Yeah, well, I give Breath of the Wild a 1 out of 5 because I have to spend $360 to get it.
Or get a Wii U.
$260.
Hey, it's... Man, Viper 16 wins it.
The silence. If I was going to buy it, I'd get the Switch because the Switch has more life cycle to it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it doesn't look like a Fisher Price toy.
Yeah. I still love my Wii.
Especially if you get the neon one.
Yeah. So, minor spoilers are in effect now that we've given that away. Congratulations to Viper and the Twitch chat. There will be more giveaways here on the live stream, twitch.tv/geekioshow. Tune in, subscribe, not subscribe because that would make us, we can't get subscriptions, but follow us, get notifications when we're on, and every so often we'll be giving away free stuff. So that being stated, Breath of the Wild, minor spoilers, no plot points, on as of 3, 2, 1. All right, you guys.
Ganon is bad and you have to save Zelda.
Right?
God, spoiler, jeez.
No, like, I guess, it's not really breaking the plot points too much to say that this is an alternate reality of what happened in Ocarina of Time.
Yeah, if you look at the Hyrule timeline, yeah, there is a break in Ocarina of Time. There are two canonical entries into the ending of Ocarina of Time. The one thing I love about this is very few Zelda games actually get into exact timelines. This does.
Oh, this is the one where he's defeated, right?
Yeah, this is where Ganon wins.
Initially.
About time.
Yeah, you get Calamity Jane, Ganon. And, yeah. He wins. At least to start.
And what I find really great about this is that the equipment you get, you have to use all of it, and you can. There's not one way to finish something. For a fight, you can use bombs. Hell, one of the battles I was fighting, I was timed, so I just picked up a steel box and I knocked the enemies off the cliff.
Yes!
Or just drop it on them. It's.
Yeah, the weird fire breathing lion thing. Man, lion, centaur thing. Like, I kept just dodging it because he broke all of my weapons except for my thunder staff. And I'm like, this does nothing against him. Arrow, pew, 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 pew.
Oh, you fought the centaur?
Yeah, well, the lioness, lion thingy. Yeah, I fought him. I killed him.
Where is that one tried. At?
It's the top of Mount Presiparian. Presiparian near the Zora Domain.
Oh, where you get the arrows, right?
Shock arrows.
Oh, I just snuck around him.
Nope, I killed him. Mainly because Wolf Link decided to go up and attack him.
Oh, that's right. You have the amiibo, right?
I do, in fact, I have Twilight Princess for the Switch or for the Wii U, and that came with the awesome Wolf Link amiibo. I have the Link Archer amiibo, and I have the Zelda amiibo on the way. Each of the getting a PM in.
Yeah, how do the amiibos work for this game? Because I'm amiibo free.
So basically, you turn on the amiibo functionality and it becomes part of your Rotom Dex. And you hit that like you would when you're casting a bomb spell. And it kind of just summons a little glowy thing on the ground. And you tap your amiibo to your stick. Yeah, Joy-Con stick. And that's your amiibo runner for some weird reason. And things just start raining from the sky.
What does Archer Link do?
Archer Link gives you a metric crap ton of fish and a box that gives you something to do with your arrows, something to do with your bows, either a good bow or arrows, something to do with that. Our Rider Link gives you a saddle or something to give to your horse to make them more friendly to you, that kind of thing.
So you can only tap these like once, or is it like once a day?
Once a day. The interesting thing about Wolf Link is Twilight Princess, which I have not, you can transfer over your amount of hearts from Link to Wolf Link in this game, because he only starts off with 3 hearts, and that goes by pretty quickly because it's Zelda Dark Souls. But you could transfer up to 20 hearts onto your Wolf Link if you beat Twilight Princess with your amiibo.
No, that turns into
all of the amiibos work. All of the Link and Zelda amiibos give something. Okay. And none of it is something that you can't get in the game, with the exception of one. The original Smash Link gives you Epona.
I gotta find my Link, because I think it's somewhere. Not sure where.
Yeah, because if you have it, it is sold out literally everywhere. You cannot get this for less than $30. I have looked everywhere. You cannot get this amiibo for less than $30 right now. That's the only way you can get Epona. The rest of it, it just rains stuff from the heavens that you can get in the game just later on. I want the Guardian, because the rest of them are, you get a little like club sticky guys, goblins. One of those, and that rains club a bunch of meat and a club box. The Guardian gives you various items and a random Guardian item. That kind of thing. But again, it doesn't give you like any kind of additional endurance on your items or anything like that. So you break the I got a really super awesome bow that had like 30 something attack power for my first archer tap, and it still breaks, and I'm still now around for a bow that's half as good as that one is.
Yeah, the only bows I've been able to find are like Soldier and Knight, which are like 25 and 26.
Yep, I got one of the. It gave me one of the not the Bow of Light, because I don't think that one can exist in the amiibo tab. It's yeah.
Oh my goodness! I mean, the fact that I think I've gotten a weapon right now where, I mean, it's broken, but I need to go. I can get it back, but I need to get all the materials for it, and someone will make it for me.
Yeah, I need to find a blacksmith desperately.
Well, no, it's just not a black. Well, the thing is that it doesn't show you the durability of the weapon.
Yeah. Yeah, there's only one unbreakable weapon in this game, by the way, though, and it's the Master Sword, coming to nobody's surprise. But that will eventually, it can quote-unquote break, but it just gets a cooldown according to the strategy guide. Usable for a while. It becomes a two-power weapon. So it's always there, but it loses all of its, if you don't hit something with it for a certain amount of time.
Okay. All right. So, you've already, like, gone through the entire guide, right?
No, I'm not. No. I purposely am not going through. I wanted to look up what kind of item, because I wanted to see where I could get more of that sexy bow.
Yeah, Boda.
So I looked through the armory of it, but not the anything else. I'm like, oh, spoilers! I'm gonna get the Master Sword.
God, spoilers! Jeez.
And stuff like that. No, I have not looked through any of. I only looked through the things that I'm working on, and previous to it. Though I am learning, I am getting an encyclopedic knowledge of cooking.
Oh, man. In the environmental, you have right as you begin, you have a sound meter and you have a temperature meter.
Yeah, the stealth in this is actually like the stealth mechanic in this works really well. Like, I was not expecting the stealth mechanic to work for this.
It does, and you need to use it sometimes, especially if you're trying to get fire lizards to make fire elixirs to make you resistant to fire damage.
There yet. I went to the Zora domain first, but where? No,
I went to the Zoro first because that's the first one that they guide you to the Zoro first.
No, you can go to any of the four. Yeah, they let you go to any of the four places. The Zora one is the closest to your Hate No Village. The reason why that one.
And then I just started the Gorons. But right now, I need to go back down because I need more fire-resistant elixirs.
Gotcha. Yeah, I haven't gotten to the point where I need those yet.
Did you get the parka from the old man? What's that?
Yeah, I got it.
Oh, okay, no, I didn't get it, so I guess I missed that one.
You're talking about the doublet?
The what?
The warm doublet?
Yeah, the warm one.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I got that one. I accidentally made the thing that he was wanting to make.
Yeah, I made it. I talked to him, and he never gave it to me.
You have to wait for him to be in a certain area after you rest and then talk to him without eating it, obviously. He has to see it.
Oh, okay. So I guess missed that, right?
Yeah. Once he spoilers the spoiler, you can't get that anymore. You can buy it from Hatano Village.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. Oh, I haven't been in there yet, so yeah. No, I've been there, but I haven't been into the shop.
Oh.
I do have a little nitpick about the cooking.
What's that?
Because, I get, you know, you can make things as strong or as weak as you want, but the idea is whenever you cook something, it's more nutritious. So you go from a half-heart apple, for example, to a full-heart apple cooked. But then you can't individually make like 10 apples all at once.
Oh, you have to do it.
And that becomes very time consuming, especially when you're still 3-heart Link and you're sitting there like, well, I'd rather just have 3 separate apples, not a 3-heart stew or a 3-heart separate fruit.
Yeah. Most of the time they have an open fire next to it, but yeah, it's sometimes you'll just get the cooking pot where you just have no choice.
Yeah, so that's my only like little nitpick about cooking. But otherwise, I've actually tried to steer away from like recipes and everything just to like see just what this and that does.
Yeah.
And then I replay it, I'll look into that.
There's like the only like major recipe that I wanted to do was a fairy potion because I wanted to cook a fairy. But the rest of them, like this combines with this to make a awesome fish skewer thing. Combines with this to literally give me 20 hearts. And yeah,
the effects are amazing. There's speed, stamina, more hearts.
Stealth makes you quieter.
Yeah.
Yeah. I got a triple stealth thing that my footprints, unless I'm running, are literally silent. So even my running footfalls are just as loud as my normal walking.
Wow.
Yeah, if you get triple stealth, you are essentially a ninja.
And you need some of those potions too, because the enemies in this game are pretty much on par with you throughout the whole game.
Yeah, they hit like trucks. I mean,
and not just that, just running away from them. Like, I had an instance where I finally paraglided down for the first time going towards Impa. And, well, there's a group of five guys. Let me go do my bomb trick that I've been practicing with the groups of three or four. And so I lure them out. One guy comes walking up to the explosion, like, oh, what was that noise? Throw a second one, kill him, but his body goes flying towards his family of friends. And so they all look at his body disappear, and then they look towards me, hiding behind a rock, and they all start picking up their weapons. I'm like, oh, this is a problem.
You see nothing, you see nothing, you see nothing, you see nothing.
And so through my panic of starting the fight, I throw my axe. The axe explodes, which, by the way, fun fact, whenever a weapon explodes during a throw, it's like double damage.
Yeah, you can any weapon you can throw does double damage, with the exception of the boomerangs. They do actually three times the amount listed on the thing.
And then if you swing a weapon and it breaks, it's a critical. So that's pretty cool. But yeah, I all of a sudden I'm panicking because now I have a torch in my hand instead of an axe. I have four guys chasing me around this rock, and then I'm running by the campfire that's there. And I set the torch on fire by accident. I'm like, oh, well, screw this. I threw it at the guy. He catches on fire, starts screaming, runs towards his own teammates, and everything is on fire now. This game's insane.
Yeah, I think one of my best moments has been I'm fighting an enemy, and I'm like, I'm out of arrows. Everything's broken. I have one spear, and I'm just like, you know what? I'm going to chuck it. Whoah! He was like at like maybe 10% health. It does the damage. It ends the fight. And it's just like, that was so great.
Yeah, I was just like, and mind you, I just did that to run away when they're on fire. I'm like, screw that. I can't keep fighting. I got nothing left. I had a torch.
Yeah.
Oh, and they give you all your equipment right at the beginning.
Yeah, practically everything that you need.
Yeah, right at the... As soon as you leave the plateau, you have, what is it, five skills or five equipment? And for the longest time, I didn't know that the bomb, you have the round bomb and then you had the square bomb. I thought the square bomb was just the activator.
Oh, yeah, you can have both of them out at the same time.
Oh, yeah, dude, I've not actually ever used the square bomb. I just used the circle bomb.
I noticed that's a mistake sometimes because, like, if you're trying to do what I normally do when I'm running away is to set a bomb to try, like, defer them away, they can kick the round bomb. So they kick the round bomb right into the back of my head once. I detonate and I'm dead. I'm like, wow, that was awesome.
Or like
I said, even be mad.
I summon my bomb because it's the only weapon that's infinite. I go to drop it. It's like, oh crap, that's around when it just goes rolling the opposite way. Like,
yeah, and there's so much. There's so many hills. It's always guaranteed to move.
Yeah, you have to think about physics in this game, you guys. It's insane.
Oh, dude, there's like the physics to like the nth degree. Everything. By the way, I'm going towards a mountain. And then there's a river flowing towards it, and you can obviously see that river is flowing faster than one that's cross through it. So they're about to merge into one super river, and then the current is actually picking up at that connection. So you can't swim through there. It's too
strong. So good. Like, so much attention to detail in this.
Yeah.
And I mean, honestly, I kind of want to do a talk about this game as we get further and further into the game. So maybe not next week, but the week after, I want to do like a revisit. Yeah. Revisit to this on just like a Gamer Geek special kind of thing, because man, just, I want to see if the attention to detail just continues to like, I want to see the graph of details in my opinion, if that graph eventually kind of, or is it constantly just growing? Because like the four zones that I've been into, I've explored them thoroughly and I'm just getting nothing more than just more and more impressed.
Yeah, I totally agree. Like in this new area, it's like all of a sudden it just changed. I'm having a friend watch me play on my break at work, and there's literally a half dozen things that happen in a span of 20 minutes I've never seen before, including shooting an animal in the butt that poops rupees.
Oh, yeah.
And that's the first time I saw rupees in the game. I'm like, okay. Yeah,
the rupee rabbits. I've only seen one, and it escaped from me.
I hit it once in the butt, and it pooped rupees.
Yeah, I've only seen... Rupees are hard to get in this game, man. Like,
yeah, I mean, you can find them in... I found some in the metal boxes.
Yeah, you'll get them in the boxes every so often. The fact of just running around cutting grass to get rupees doesn't really work anymore unless you count selling things.
Yeah.
The best way to get money that we found so far was the ores. Yeah. So bombing the ore spots or going to fight the stone golem in the plateau.
I still have to find him. But
he is in the forest of spirits.
Okay. I know you have to fight him Shadow of Colossus style, right?
Yeah, you have to climb up him, hit this one spot on him over and over and over again. He'll knock you off and it's rinse and repeat.
I know I've left the plateau, but I know there's so much more there.
Yeah, oh yeah, like the plateau is massive on its own right. I spent 3.5 hours just on the plateau exploring before I actually did the stuff to get off of it. And like, I can guarantee there's still stuff up there that I haven't seen. Mm-hmm. And that's just the smallest part of the, that's the smallest area, you guys.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I feel guilty, like quick traveling in this game. Cause I feel like I'm going to miss something.
Yeah, man.
So it's like, yeah, it's there. Buyer beware. You're going to miss out on some cool stuff.
One last thing. There's voice acting in a Zelda game.
And oh, yeah. It's good.
It is. The Zora Prince is the greatest voice actor. He is so good. Admittedly, I haven't gotten through most of it yet. Like I said, I've only got it through there. But I love the Zora Prince voice actor is really good. Zelda's voice actress is really good.
I'm going to lose it if Link talks like at the very, like the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, it's after credits scene. He just says, "It's nice seeing you, Zelda."
Voiced by Samuel L. Jackson.
It's good to see you again, mother.
It's Morgan Freeman.
It took me forever to find you.
Well, it was a long journey, but now we are here.
Okay, on the other side. All right, you guys. All right, we're gonna wrap up here, or else we could literally sit and talk for hours on Zelda. Like I said, we're gonna maybe not next weekend, but the weekend after, I want to revisit this.
Instead of talking about Zelda, we're probably gonna go play Zelda.
Yeah, I'm go just watch Rachel farm some more stuff.
All right.
Wait, she found a new stable. She found a new stable.
I found two stables so far.
Yeah, she just found Riverside Stable. And so far, I've just been dealing with the one in Dueling Peaks. Just kind of going back there, summoning my horse to that. You can reach us via email at geekioshow@gmail.com. Put GamerGeeks in the subject line. Facebook and Twitter, Twitch, YouTube, all/GeekIOShow. You can give us a call. Leave us a voicemail over at 727-489-4335. That is 727-489-GEEK. You can support this show and every show on the Geek.io network by going over to patreon.com/geek.io. That is patreon.com/geek.io. This show normally records Sundays at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Central over at twitch.tv/geek.io show. Some stuff go on this week. And also I wanted Mig on here to talk Switch, so it wasn't just Raul and I, but it was three people lathering all over it.
Okay. Because I don't count as a person.
You don't. That's the reason why you were still not in the intro.
Hey,
and that's why I drink at night.
You're a good guy. You played Horizon Zero Ocarina.
When nobody else would, mainly because it was $60 and the rest of us were saving up money for the Switch.
Horizon Zelda Dawn.
There you go. Like I said, it's the one where Zelda's the heroine of it. Tighter hair to look like Ygritte from Game of Thrones and is like, all right, I got this shit. Hold my beer.
Learned how to bow from Link.
All right, guys. We will see you right back here. Well, I won't be here next week because I will be at PAX East. But I'm going to make sure Raul and Delbert do a show next week.
What about we do a Let's Play?
Hey, well, there you go. Delbert can do a Let's Play because I will be working for the Greater Than Games guys over at PAX East. If you are going to be at PAX East, shoot me an email. I would love to hang out. On that note, see you next time, folks. Good game.
GG. Bye.
GG.
This has been a Geek.io Media Network production. Copyright 2017.